Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org.
This morning we have the opportunity to hear from Pastor Gordon. He'll be bringing the word. For those of you that may have not heard, Gordon is ending his 15-year tenure pastoring here at Salem Alliance. He'll still be around. He'll still be doing a lot of pastoral type things. But today, Gordon, we just want to honor you. You have been just an incredible presence in this place. You are known throughout our city. You're known to our congregation. You have visited many of us in hospitals, in our homes. You continue to just bring the peace of Jesus with you. You've overseen the benevolent fund. You do a lot of funerals in this place, and you will be terribly missed. We are struggling to figure out how to replace you in the 3 full-time jobs that you do. You are loved, and church family, would you honor and welcome Gordon?
No. Totally undeserved, but thank you. For those of you watching on live stream today, welcome. We are so thrilled to have you as well during this service. You mean the world to us, so thanks for being a part of this. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We always want you to bring Bibles with you to church, printed or electronic. And so let's turn to Matthew 25. When you walked into this building today, you would have noticed all these tables set up in the lobby. And these people, the groups that are there, are some of our partners that we work with. They're a part of Ashley's groups that she just talked about. And there's a number of these that are out there that help us reach the neighborhoods, which is our theme this weekend. Some of these we support financially, and so when you give to the Benevolent Fund, you are helping make a difference. So again, thank you for that. And so after the service, be sure and peruse the tables, talk to the people there, and get a sense of what is happening there. So Matthew 25, we're going to pick it up at verse 31, and would you stand to honor God's word as I read it? I'm going to read 31 to the end. So Jesus is speaking to us. He says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. This is God's word to us. You may be seated. So I'm going to give you just four words right off the bat that I think capture this text, and we'll put it on the screen. Least is not less. Least is not less. This is the theme that I believe Jesus presents to us. You know, our culture can view, particularly the people that Jesus refers to here, and we could add other groups to that, as less than. They're less than me. They're less than us. They're less than you put in the word. But Jesus doesn't. See, Jesus has an upside down kingdom. And Jesus says they're actually more than, because he identifies with them and he identifies with all of us. My expectation is that as we look at this text, we are going to see that we are them and that they are us, that Jesus is identifying with us. And this is the heart. This is the character for all of God's people. And we're going to see this passion and this compassion of Jesus come out by way of who he keeps identifying with. So we're going to look at three thoughts in this text. And then along the way, I would like to share my own journey of how Jesus has been taking me from seeing the least or less to the least or not less. So let's go look at the text. Let's look at the first three verses. So here's the first thought. King Jesus will serve as judge when he returns. So we celebrate the first coming of Jesus at Christmas. Jesus came with humility. He came in obscurity. But here he tells us that when he comes for the second time, it's going to be completely different than that. He's going to come in glory. It's going to be loud. It will be visible for all, and all of the angels will be there. So the complete opposite. And he's going to come as king and judge. And the thing he's going to do right off the bat, he tells us, is that he is going to put all people who have ever lived on this planet into just two groups. Two groups only. There aren't multiple groups. There is just two. And he will separate them, and then they each have their eternal destiny. Every person will experience eternal life. Maybe you've never thought about that, because we only think about life in heaven. But Jesus says every person will experience eternal life, either eternity with Jesus or eternity with the devil. And that's harsh. And we'll have to address that yet this morning. But here's the good word. The good word is that Jesus Christ is the only person who is qualified to serve as this judge. No one else is. Why? Because he's omniscient. He knows everything about each of us. He is love. He is good, and he is just. And so we can trust the judgment that Jesus will bring in that moment. He will always do what is right. I was born in Central California, and the church that I was a part of had a relationship with the Bakersfield Rescue Mission. And groups from our church would go present the evening chapel service several times a year. And often my dad and mom would go to sing, and then someone would bring the message from the Bible. And dad and mom would take my sister and I with them periodically. So I went there, and I don't have a memory of a particular service, but what I do remember is that the room was kind of dim, darkly lit, and there were a bunch of people in there who were kind of restless during the whole time, and I didn't understand really any of it. Didn't have a context for it of what was going on. During the summer before my senior year in high school, I was invited to go to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp up at Southern Oregon University in Ashland. And so we traveled up here on a charter bus. And so my parents dropped me off at the Bakersfield Bus Depot, which was near the rescue mission, downtown Bakersfield. And we had to wait for the charter bus to pick us up, and then it just picked up other guys on the way up here to the camp. So while we were waiting for the bus, I went into the bathroom. And I went into a stall, and in the stall next to me was a limp body on the floor. I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't know, is this person dead? This was out of my league. This was out of my context. And this, I'm bothered by this. And so I go out to the employee behind the counter, and I said, there's a body on the floor in the bathroom. Now, I was disturbed and concerned, and he was completely undisturbed and unconcerned. And as an adult, then I realized what I was seeing. I didn't know at the time, but this was a person that was passed out, probably from alcohol, drugs, whatever it happened to be, laying on the floor in the bathroom. And my guess is that the employee saw this all the time. This was the normal occurrence there at the Bakersfield bus depot. So needless to say, my own journey of learning that the least are not less was pretty naive, and I was semi-sheltered and just didn't understand. And I had a long ways to go to understand who was Jesus identifying with and what did that mean for us. Let's go back to the text, verse 34. King Jesus invites us and invites his followers to come home. Look at verse 34 again. Don't miss the beauty of this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come. Let's just stop right there. Can you feel the warmth in Jesus' voice as he says to his kids, come, come home. This is all done now. You don't have to deal with any of this stuff anymore. Come home, be with me. There's a beauty in this, friends. And don't miss that. But we need to pause here because this text, if we just had a surface reading of it, we could walk away saying, Jesus is telling us that my eternity, my salvation is based on my works. Because what does he say? He says, those who did this stuff come home to heaven. Those who didn't do this stuff, you're going to hell. And we could come to the conclusion that our salvation is based on our works. Now, let's just be clear on this. The Bible is very clear. Our salvation, our eternity, is based on one thing alone, the grace of God to us and our faith response to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is it. It is not based on our works. However, the Bible is very clear that works can't be separated from our salvation. If you're saved, there will be works that will come out of your life. Now, the clue to me in this text, twice Jesus says, the least of these my brothers and sisters. Did you notice that? It's in verse 40 and then again in verse 45. Jesus is referring to people who are already in his family. He is talking to the saved, and he said, this is what your life produced, this is what your life didn't produce. And so he is referring to those who are already in the family. So it is appropriate for this text for us to say, okay, Salem Alliance, how are we doing at loving on people who are already in the family? That is Jesus' first thought. And it's also appropriate for us to say this text goes beyond just the church family, because earlier in Matthew, Jesus had already said there's two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor. And so the neighbor includes those who don't know Jesus yet. So it's appropriate to take this text there as well. So Christ followers can actually be surprised. Did you notice the surprise here? They said, Jesus, when did we do this? They weren't aware. And we can actually serve the least without realizing that we're actually serving Jesus. Now, what's interesting to me is the word least can mean size, so it can be little. Or it can refer to dignity, a person that is undignified, they have no dignity in life, or importance. The person has, they're unimportant, they're not worth anything. So now think about that for a minute. Here at church, do we emphasize children? Size, absolutely. Does Jesus identify with children? He pulled them up on his lap. People who are undignified, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment yet, or people who are of little importance, we say, no, actually, because of Jesus, you are important, and I'm willing to have a conversation with you and talk to you. After I graduated from seminary, Melinda and I and our young daughter, Ashley, moved to Wichita, Kansas, where I became the pastor of a brand new church. So a couple of years into that, I got a phone call at church, and it was this person, I think his name is Don, something like that. And he had never been to church, and he had an ask. Could I put some gas in his tank? So we talked a little bit, and it seemed like the right thing to do. So I said, okay, I'll meet you at this gas station. And so I met him there at the gas station, put some gas in his tank, and we talked a little bit more. And Don was a single person, lived on his own, cobbled together a couple of different jobs to try to make ends meet, barely made ends meet, didn't really have much of any sort of a family structure in his life. Well, that day became a regular monthly phone call. Gordon, can you put some gas in my tank? So, for a number of years, I did that. You could discount on it. Every month, he's going to call and ask. And I'm going to confess to you that I was like these sheep, in that I did not see Jesus in him. Quite honestly, he was an annoyance to me. I did it because I believed it was the right thing to do and that was a part of following Jesus, but I wasn't here yet. And so my journey still needed to go farther by way of seeing people as Jesus sees them. So let's go back to the text. Now the last part, and this is probably the hardest part of this text, verses 41 to 46. And our point here is that King Jesus will permanently remove those who refuse to identify with him. Can we agree that this is hard to talk about? This is the part that makes us uncomfortable. It is difficult to think about people being sent to hell when we know we have a loving God. And Jesus actually speaks of hell often. When you read the Gospels, it might surprise you how often he refers to it. And it just doesn't feel good to talk about this and to speak of it. But hell is a reality, and some people are going to experience the finality of that at the end. But I have some good news for us. The good news is that the Bible also teaches us that God is patient because he wants every person to get saved. And I love the way one pastor put it one time. He said, you know, Jesus is not on the plank that leads up to the ship going to heaven, kicking people off. Get off, get off, get off. Rather, he's reaching out with both hands saying, get on, get on, get on. Come on, I want you in my family. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the compassion of Jesus that we see in this text. And yes, this is a harsh reality, but the beauty of this is that God desires for people to come into the family and to be a part. My journey in this least is not less took an exponential leap 15 years ago when I came on staff. If you're not aware of it, a lot of people that Jesus describes in this text on our campus every day of the week. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. One is our location. We're on the north end of downtown Salem, And downtown Salem attracts a lot of people who are hurting and struggling and going through a lot of hard things. And so they end up migrating our way because we're right on the end of downtown. I think a second reason is if you haven't really paid attention to it, when you walk across the street here to go to the Commons, there's that one-story building that we call the Faith Annex, and that building is dedicated to recovery 6 days a week. So we have AA and NA and SA and all kinds of other A groups that meet in that building, and we want them here because recovery for us is a priority. That's why we've offered LifePath and the Steps Ministry in the past and the Soul Care groups and other kind of groups here, because we believe all of us are in recovery from something. And so when these people come on our campus, they bring their stuff with them. And so we are faced with what Jesus talks about. I think a third reason is that larger churches like us tend to offer more opportunities. And so again, the ministries that Ashley was highlighting this morning, and there are other ministries here that focus on trying to connect with people who are hurting. And so we offer more opportunities. So I want to close by telling you a story about a man named Jerry. So Jerry came to church here a number of years ago, and Jerry is unhoused, didn't have a home, lived on the street. And so the first time he came, Jerry and I sat down and talked together, and I asked Jerry, tell me your story. And then as he did that, I said, tell me your spiritual story. You know, what do you believe about God, about Jesus? And he had a bit of a spiritual story, and that conversation led into a relationship with Jerry that lasted a number of years. And he would come on our campus on a regular basis, and he came to church a couple of times, not very often, but a few times. But one of the problems was that Jerry had a temper. And Jerry would at times posture himself in ways that became unhealthy and unhelpful. And that kind of behavior brings a person in contact with a man named Tim France. And Tim, if you've never met him and don't know, oversees all of our facilities. And Tim is a huge, huge gift to us as a church. He is amazing. He and his team. And so Jerry, at times, operated and acted and lived in ways that were not helpful and that were unhealthy. And this may surprise some of you, but there are times, and probably more times than you would imagine, and you'll be surprised, that we have to tell a person, you cannot be on our campus anymore. We have to exit people here. And I just want to pause for a minute and say this to us. Sometimes the most loving and Christ-like thing that we can say to a person is no. And some of you need to hear that, because you're saying yes when you actually need to say no. And that is the most Christ-like thing you can do. And Jerry's behavior escalated, and Tim had to say, no, you cannot be here anymore. I think it was the next day, might have been 2 days later, Tim comes to me and he says, Jerry's over on the corner yelling and screaming at us. Now, he was technically off our campus. He was on the corner of Hood and Broadway here on the side of Salem for Refugees building. So he was legal. And yes, he was yelling, screaming, and just cussing up a storm at us, just angry as all get out. And Tim says, I'm going to have to go talk to him. I said, no, I got this one. So I went over and talked to Jerry. I said, Jerry, what are you doing? What's going on? And he begins to unload about everything and how we've hurt him and so on and so on. I said, Jerry, let's go for a walk. And so we walked a block north here over by our youth building. And again, Jerry, what's going on? And I asked him this question. I said, Jerry, why do you come to the very place that just infuriates you? You could go anywhere in Salem, Kaiser. There's all kinds of places you could go. Why do you come to the very place that just makes you so mad? Oh, he goes on with some stuff. But he's starting to get emotional and quieter. And I asked him again. I said, Jerry, why do you come to the place that makes you angry? And now he's crying. And he said, because I know you care about me. You know, I'd love to tell you that I was completely like Jesus now, you know, seeing Jesus fully in Jerry. I was moving definitely in that direction, but probably in some of my frustration and stuff, didn't fully see that. But what I have recognized is that in Jerry's story, and by the way, it actually has a good ending because his demeanor changed that day. And it took a little while, but in conversation with he and Tim and I, he was allowed to come back on campus. And then I think it was within a year or so, he somehow found out about some housing in Kansas, and he moved to Kansas and had a house, a place to live. And we texted a couple of times during that year, and he was doing well. What I've discovered in me, and this is my prayer for us, is that I find that God has put in me a heart that leans into those that Jesus talks about. Because he says they are not less, they're actually more. And when we look at this, we say, this is all of us at one point or another. We're in this group, and so we are they, and they are us. And I find myself leaning towards them because of what Jesus is stirring in my heart. And that's my hope and desire for you, is that we will keep leaning into those who are hurting, and at times they're messy, and we may have to say no as we're still leaning into them. So let's put the slide up there again. Least is not less. Least is not less. So what's the takeaways today? Well, the takeaway that Jesus is inviting us in, again, let's come back to this passion and compassion. We see the passion and compassion of Christ in this. He leans into the people who the society would oftentimes dismiss. And so can that be a call for us to say, Jesus, who might you? Could it be children? Could it be teens? Could it be some of the groups that are represented out there? Whatever it happens to be, can we lean towards those people? And so I want to invite us to embrace this passion and compassion. Let's not operate out of fear about the sheep and goat kind of a thing. That isn't what this is about today. This is an invitation to have the passion and compassion of Jesus. So talk to Ashley about her teams. Talk to some of us on staff about other areas. Talk to some of these people that are in the lobby here. They represent probably half of the groups that we connect with. And find out what is it about them? What are they doing? Maybe that would be something you'd be interested in. But Jesus invites us to have the same passion and compassion that he has. So let's pray. Jesus, we long to hear you say, come. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Jesus, thanks that it's not based on works, but actually we get to work because you loved us first, and then we are learning to love you. So help us to learn to love others then too, particularly those who are different than us. We need your help. It's not easy. But thanks that you're capable. And so we pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.